You've tuned into Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined by Kent Stainback, coming to you from Herb's house here in Dallas, Texas. And so we're excited to be able to have this time to be with you. It's going to be short. It's about 10 minutes, Kent. I'm going to talk for a little less than 5 minutes, and then you and I are going to talk this out for the last 5 minutes. So we are looking at the Ten Commandments, which are so practical and relevant for today. And we're at the seventh commandment. And the title of this is Preserve Your Marriage, or it could be Protect Your Marriage. Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Kent, this is the second commandment that addresses the family, and it really underscores the importance of a healthy, functioning, God-centered family where there's much love, where there is a husband and a wife that love each other and children who honor their parents. But Satan is the greatest home destroyer. If God's the greatest home builder, the devil is the greatest home destroyer. And this is one of the tools in his arsenal to absolutely destroy a husband-wife relationship and to devastate the children who live in that home. And it is by the horrible sin of adultery. And so God puts this in the negative. You shall not commit adultery intentionally, so that there is a certain edge to this commandment that would really poke us and get our attention. And is saying that you may not, under any circumstances whatsoever, have a sexual relationship with someone who is not your spouse. And this is, it includes marital fidelity. It includes remaining pure before you're married. And that to commit adultery is really a sin of treason against God, who forbids it. It's a sin of treason against your spouse, against your children. And it was so serious, Kent, that in the Old Testament, God required the death penalty. That you would not live to commit this sin again. You would just be taken out. And this really begins with the heart, as all of these commandments do. This begins with the heart. And Jesus, in Matthew 5, 27 to 30, gives the true interpretation of this commandment, where he says that if you have lust in your heart, unlawful desire for someone who's not your spouse, and you allow that to be cultivated in your heart, that you are committing adultery with that person, as you would fantasize in your mind carrying out this sin. And it is strictly forbidden, not just the act, but also the thought, and to allow that to gain momentum inside of you. To put this in the positive, this necessitates that you love your spouse with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that you love her spiritually, emotionally, but also physically, and that you would love her as Christ loved the church. And so, though this is stated in the negative, and it does put up a firewall between you and anyone else who's not your spouse, it also puts it in the positive, which is you are to love your spouse, to spend time with your spouse, to be intimate with your spouse, and to have a very close and personal relationship with her. So, Kent, this is this seventh commandment, and I guess the other thing that comes to my mind is the world in which we live could not be any more counterintuitive to this. And the society and the culture in which we live actually promotes adultery. And not to get off on certain bandwagons, but just to call it for what it is, Hollywood and movies and television and magazines and pornography and everything that goes with this, all of the artillery of hell itself is mobilized and marshaled against the husband-wife relationship, and to the point that if a movie wants its ratings to be higher, then you've got to throw in some adultery so that people buy tickets to come watch this. And where this is considered to be prudish and puritanical, let's just say what it is. It's godly and it's holy to preserve your marriage. So, Kent, you know, what do we need to talk
about?
Steve,
a couple of things. It seems to me that you mentioned this, that, as you said, all of these Satan is throwing, the world, the mentality, everything is being thrown at us, which is opposite of this. And is that Satan? Is that what you said? That is Satan's attack to destroy the family?
Absolutely it is. No question about it. Satan is against everything that God is for. Mm-hmm. And God is so pro-family. Because it's God's design for human life, that the devil will try to tear down anything and everything that God is building up. And so it's spiritual warfare, and it is the forces of darkness led by the God of this age, mm-hmm. Against the family. And it's an all-out frontal mm-hmm. assault mm-hmm. against the family, mm-hmm. but it's more than just to destroy the husband-wife relationship. It's to destroy the spread of the gospel mm-hmm. as well, which should begin at home, wow. as mom and dad together are leading their children in worshiping God and serving God and talking about the gospel at home. If the devil can bust that up, then he has really destroyed and undermined the primary platform for evangelism, which would begin with the home.
Yeah. You and I both played athletics, and we know that how much the mental the mental thoughts, and what sports psychologists will say, mm-hmm. if you stand up on a tee and you say, don't hit it left, you hit it left.
You're thinking about left.
So how much, again, if you'll speak to, mm-hmm. how much does it start in the mind and in the thoughts and the danger of how strong our minds are, mm-hmm. that of why our Lord's saying that.
Yeah, I can't. Great question. Let me just say this. Everything begins with the mind. Mm-hmm. It's not just this commandment. It's every one of the commandments, and it's every call to duty in the entire Bible. Everything begins with the mind. You can have something in your mind and not have it in your heart, but you'll never have anything in your heart that's not first in your mind. So follow that train of thought. And so the mind is the tip of the spear. And the battle for the Christian life is the battle for the Christian mind. So that's why Proverbs says, watch over your heart, for from it flows the issues of life. And heart there representing the totality of your inner life, beginning with your mind. And so that's why our thoughts have to be pure and elevated mm-hmm. and, you know, Philippians 4, verse 8, whatsoever is lovely and pure, mm-hmm. etc., let your mind mm-hmm. think on these things. So it all begins with a renewed mind, Romans 12, 2. So that's why we've got to be in the Word, have pure thoughts in our mind that dislodge mm-hmm. Impure thoughts. And that's why we need to be in Christian fellowship with other fellow believers, yeah. talking about the Lord and encouraging one another in the Lord. And I think many people who fall into this sin are those who are not working, have too much time, or really are not spending time with their family, or, you know, they're not protecting their mind. They're not in the Word of God. They're not under the preaching of the Word of God.
So, Steve, the last question, if you'll just address this.
Yeah.
What if there has been a mistake? In the family or in the relationship, and yet there's true repentance. What do you do?
Yeah. That's a great question. And obviously, millions of people find themselves in that place. You need to go to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And in no way would I minimize how disastrous this sin is by saying, well, you can just ask for God's forgiveness. Really, it elevates the grace of God. Mm-hmm. That where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And God is a God of perfect forgiveness, full forgiveness. And really, you only have to ask God's forgiveness one time. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to beat yourself up for the rest of your life. And so I would say to those watching, if you have fallen into adultery, to go to the Lord with this and not only confess it, but to be a repenter, mm-hmm. and to burn your bridges behind you. Mm-hmm. And there's no going back to that sin. And just know that God's grace covers a multitude, mm-hmm. Of sins. And so that's why you need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confess it to the Lord, and you will find a Savior who has much grace to wash away all sin. Thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope.